Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Ryan Snyder from On3.com. Ryan, how have you been?
Good, man. We are in the final home stretch here before National Signing Day, of course. So, been a busy couple weeks, but I can't complain, right? I'm not the one jetting across the country to meet with players, so the staff has it a lot harder than I do, right? I'm just trying to track them.
Yeah,
it's been good.
We'll get to some players here in a moment. I just want to ask you, as time has gone with this job, let's take the last couple of years. Obviously, each individual is communicates in their own way. Some people are very open. Some are more closed-mouthed about it. What have you found the trend to be? Are people more open to talking to you about stuff, or are they a little more guarded as time has gone?
Good question. I would say this.
Well, I try to come up with one once in a while.
You do. You always get me one where it's like right off the bat, it's like, oh, I got to think here for a second. I would say this. As compared, so I started this 12 years ago. Compared to then, it's a lot more messaging. You know, I like kids don't want to talk on the phone as much, nearly as much. And of course, you know, a decade ago, we weren't really, there was Facebook, but there wasn't, you know, Twitter and right. Instagram and all those other ways of communicating. So I would say that it's less extensive interviews and more, you know, rapid, quick communication. You know, here's where I'm visiting, but not really opening up about them. Now, of course, if you're a good journalist, right, you got to just figure out a way to get them to open up, and I try my best with that. But I would definitely I sound like the old man right now, right? Like the kids that don't want to talk, and you know, all they want to do is text. And there is a lot of truth to that, though. But you got some kids who are awesome about it, and you know, they really enjoy opening up, and you know, some who just, you know, that's just not them. The one thing I will say, though, is that since NIL has started, I think a lot of players are starting to understand how doing interviews and opening up and, you know, using social media in the correct ways could really benefit them down the road. I was just talking to a player, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago about how, like, I mean, basically he brought it up where, you know, does he enjoy doing interviews? No, not really. But he thinks that, you know, getting his name out there more, you know, opening up about things and letting people know, you know, that he's a well-spoken young man and you know, just kind of his character traits, he thinks that will benefit him down the road. And I totally agree. I mean, I definitely feel that the way to benefit from NIL is for fans to really get to know you and to know your personality. Yeah. And you know, that really starts now when you're really a sophomore if in high school, if you're a superstar, and you know, for a lot of guys when they're upperclassmen. So I think that's gonna be something that really, you know, maybe changes my industry a little bit moving forward.
Which now is the follow up. The follow up is this: how much better can you read somebody after you speak with them as opposed to reading a response?
Night and day. I mean, I tell our message board people all the time where I'll gladly be the third or fourth person to do a story on a player if it means I get an interview with them. And, you know, a lot of my colleagues, you know, don't get me wrong, we all prefer to do interviews, but a lot of people have just kind of switched to the whole I'll gladly take, you know, 3-sentence response on Twitter and, you know, do a couple of those and you can put out a story. And don't get me wrong, there's definitely times where that's the only option I have and I'm going to do that. But if you're telling me that we can do an interview Saturday night after a junior day or Sunday night, Monday after the junior day, and you know, we can actually do an extensive interview, of course, over the phone, it's no question. I'll gladly wait the 36 hours just because you learn so much more just from tone of voice and, you know, how excited someone will get from, you know, when I ask about a coach or a particular part of the visit. There's so many different things that you can learn, especially if you're good at I don't want to say reading body language because we were talking over the phone, but, you know, reading the tone of voice and how people, you know, just get that out there. So, yeah, it's night and day, man. I'll take a phone interview any chance I get.
You know, one thing I'm not sure of on my end is, for example, if an athlete is playing someplace And they've already, you know, and I can talk about them in, you know, a highlight package or something like that. But if they go in the portal, do I have to stop talking about them? So I don't know. So I'll do this in general terms. There's a lineman from Cornell a lot of people are going after. So where does that stand right now?
Yeah. Hunter Norzad, I believe Norzad is how I pronounce his last name. I apologize, Hunter, if I butchered that. But, of course, he was up this past weekend for an official visit. And Hunter's one of those guys who has made it clear that he doesn't really want to open up much about do interviews, which is fine. And to be honest, a lot of the transfer portal guys, you know, they've been through this before. They've met with the media after games. They want nothing to do with it, which I completely understand, right? You're not obligated to. But from speaking with, of course, Penn State sources, they feel that they have definitely put their best foot forward here. I'll go back a little bit. You know, we know James Franklin did an in-home visit with Phil Troutwine with, you know, Hunter and his family last weekend in Atlanta. And then Phil Troutwine today was expected in Atlanta again to do an in-home visit while Hunter's home. He will go back to Cornell here soon and finish out classes. Now, circling back to the visit, we know Sean Clifford and Juice Scruggs played a big part in that visit. I believe Juice was his true host. Maybe Sean was. One of them was. I know they spent a lot of time with those two, and, you know, Penn State sources felt like that came off well. As far as other schools, we know he took an official visit to Illinois about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Then he also did an official visit to Auburn. I'm being told Auburn's not really so much in the mix anymore, and really that this is going to come down to Penn State, Illinois, and Iowa. There was also supposed to be an official visit to Virginia Tech this week, but that's not happening. And we know Iowa will get that final visit over the upcoming weekend, and we'll see what happens from there. So he can't enroll at any school until next spring. He will be a graduate transfer. When you do three quarters of your time at Cornell, obviously you're going to get that degree, right? So he's going to finish off this semester. So he'll roll wherever in the May, but that means that he doesn't have to decide really anytime soon. But would I be surprised if this drags into March and April? I would. But really, I mean, this could drag out a bit. So official visit to Iowa this upcoming weekend, and we'll see what happens there. Penn State, Iowa, Illinois, I think those are the three schools, and I think it's going to be Penn State or Iowa.
When you look at the portal, how deliberate is and careful has Penn State been? You know, they go into the portal, but how careful are they with the portal? You know, and instead of just like, hey, we'll just bring in 20 and hope five stick.
Yeah, they're extremely thorough with it, and they really are like that with 2022 recruits at the end too.
Yeah,
I think the portal wasn't around in the beginning of Franklin's tenure, but in those first couple years, and even going back to Vanderbilt, they were much more aggressive at the end of these tenures, kind of adding guys who maybe they were, 80% on, but not 100% there. And as Franklin has progressed here, that's kind of changed a lot. And really now, if they find someone that they're 80% on, but maybe not 100% there, they'll hold off. They really try to make sure that the whole staff is like, yeah, this is somebody we absolutely need to get. And I think you're really seeing that with the players that they target. For example, I mean, Hunter Norzad has been he's been one of their top guys for really feels like 2 months now.
And right.
Of course, Mitchell Tinsley, he wasn't in the portal that long, but as soon as he entered, I mean, they went all out. And there's a handful of other guys who, we believe they're after, but it's kind of hard to confirm, of course. But I feel like they're always going to take the, I don't want to say laid back approach. What's the best word? Conservative is probably not the best word. But,
deliberate.
They just want to make sure the whole staff's in on it.
They take a deliberate, careful, calculated approach to what they're doing with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about that?
So I'll be curious. That's a good way to put it. And I mean, of course, one other thing I'll add is, the big position everybody's talking about, of course, is offensive line. And this is probably the hardest position to recruit in the portal, right?
No doubt.
I mean, if you are an elite offensive tackle, you're not entering the portal. But even if you're a mid-range offensive tackle and you do go in, you're going to get elite offers because it's just such a coveted position. So this is a really hard position to recruit in the portal. But Penn State's going to do it really every year because they know that, even if it's a you know, mid-tier guy who's, you know, been okay but not great, it's easier to develop that player and get him on the field a lot quicker than taking a high school freshman.
All right, junior day. You know, I know Penn State just, you know, they just signed a fabulous class on paper that we will now get to see come to fruition before our eyes, starting with nine of them in the spring. But they also felt like they laid tremendous groundwork on 23. So how are things progressing there?
Yeah. Well, of course, the class is coming along well. You know, they I think they're the players they have committed. We have 3 4-stars and 3 3-stars. And really, you know, I think 2 or 3 of those 3-star players, for example, I think Lamont Payne and Josh Miller really have the chance to move up. And I like Joey Schlaffer a lot, too. So their 3-star guys are definitely guys that I could see moving up. And, of course, when you have Alex Birchmeyer, Neil Avery, and Matthias Barnwell, 3 players who have been coveted by just about everyone, you can't ask for much more than that. When we go to junior day now, this past weekend was kind of a little bit of a, I don't want to say a smaller group. It wasn't as deep, I guess, when it comes to that elite talent. And from what I gathered, there was a little bit of reasons for that. One, they had Hunter Norzad on campus. That is an incredibly important visit. They had to put the majority of their focus there. Mm-hmm. But then, two, they were just kind of aiming for January 15th and January 29th to be those two huge events, you know, where they get as much top-tier talent on campus as possible. And one thing I will say from talking to players is that they like it when they're on campus and other elite players are with them.
Yes.
So I think that's something that they really try to do. I mean, they want to make sure that their top players – are surrounded by top players when they come to events like this. So that first weekend was probably the best one so far between the two. Samson Okunlola is a top 50 offensive tackle prospect. We have him at 0-3 as the number 2 tackle in the country. There's guys like Derek LeBlanc and John Walker who are really good defensive tackle prospects out of Florida. Tamia Robinson's a player I've talked about a lot out of Pittsburgh. I think he's probably one of Penn State's top 3 linebacker targets. And really that list goes on and on. I mean, there were 19 scholarship players on campus that weekend. This past weekend was a little bit smaller. You know, I had 5 4-star players on campus, and I think the scholarship count was around 10. And really it was a lot of players who I think, like out of those 10 guys, I think probably about a handful of them really could probably end up here, but a lot of guys that I think they want to camp down the road, guys who they like a lot, but they want to get a measurement on, they want to see a move, whatever it may have been. And then January 29th, of course, this upcoming weekend is what I expect to be probably the best of the 3 when it comes to deep talent. Do you want me to get into that, Steve?
Please.
Yeah, so Nick Harbor is somebody everybody's talking about. Nick, did you see what Nick Harbor did this past weekend, Steve? The 2079 200 meter? Did you hear about that?
I did.
Yeah, incredible player, man. 6'5", 235-pound edge rusher. And I mean, he just put up one of the fastest 200-meter times in United States history with a 2079. I mean, for example, I think the next fastest time over the past year was like a 22 mid-range. So, this is a player who realistically some people think could run in the Olympics someday. So, just talking about a heck of a player, and he is expected to be here this weekend. His sister actually graduated from Penn State too. So there are some ties.
Yep.
But again, this is a player who's going to be coveted by just about every school in the country. He's going to run track in college too. So I'll be curious to see how, you know, that sprinter aspect of this really impacts them, because of course if you're a top sprinter, I mean a lot of those guys train in the South, so we'll see how that impacts them down the road. Tony Rojas is a top linebacker prospect I'm expecting to be up here, just like Tamir Robinson. I would say he's probably a top 3 prospect at that linebacker position, and somebody that they had on campus last year for a summer workout and just was absolutely excellent. So a lot of other guys here too. I can talk about James Hurd, a great defensive end from St. Joseph's Prep. Sadir Mitchell and DJ Samuels are 2 pretty good defensive linemen from Bergen Catholic. Jameel Lyons is a freak of an athlete from Roman Catholic down in Philadelphia. And the list really is going to go on and on. So right now I have about a little over a dozen players confirmed, and it'll probably end up around 30 or so when it's all said and done. But I know they're aiming for this to be the big grand finale of the January contact period, and it should be a pretty deep group.
One other note on the previous group, but Danai Dennis-Sutton ends up being a five-star, mm-hmm. giving Penn State 3 5-stars. Your thoughts?
Yeah, man, he absolutely deserves it, too.
Yes. Yep.
Of course, you know, I was with Rivals for the longest time, and, you know, when I was there, we were he's been a five-star with Rivals for a while, and, you know, yeah. he in my opinion, when I moved over to 1-3, that was something we talked about a lot, and, of course, he broke his elbow to begin the year, and it slowed down his senior season. But he really finished strong in his final 7 games. I think it was around 7 sacks, 40 tackles, and looked great. And then he comes down to the All-American Bowl in San Antonio, which I attended 2 weeks ago. And, man, he was excellent. I mean, really one of the most consistent guys out there from one-on-ones all throughout the week. And, of course, he had a really good game as well with a handful of quarterback hurries and a really nice sack as well. So just everything off the field, we know Danai's an awesome player. I mean, he is – look at him physically. I mean, he's exactly everything you want. But everything about Danai off the field is what I really love about this kid. I mean, he is everything you could ask for in an individual, as a student, as a person. I mean, this is somebody who I think fans are really, really going to get to love. And I'll be honest, if you're out there and you know you want to talk NIL and someone to promote your brand down the road, everyone's going to talk Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, and they deserve it very much. But Danai Dennis-Sutton is somebody who I think fans are really going to get to know and really enjoy. So just happy for him to earn that 5th star. He just absolutely earned it. And I don't know how other way to put it. So it's going to be a great class with 3 5-star players. I think it's 12 or 13 4-star players. And should go down as really probably the 2nd best class under Franklin. And really, it's kind of 1A, 1B, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And one of the best classes in the top in the last, you know, 20, 30 years here.
Yeah, let me put it this way. Fans should get to know him quickly. All right. We'll leave it at that. Always a pleasure, Ryan. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah. Let's catch up soon. There'll be a big weekend here. And, you know, of course, signing day next week. I don't know what – maybe we're going to talk about somebody. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see how it plays out. It'll be great. Thanks so much, Ryan.
Take care, Steve. Appreciate it.